Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist. I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and I'm working on a doctorate in education at Georgia Southern University. I am a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists. I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I'm also on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy. I currently live in Savannah, Georgia, but I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists largely of people who need to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain some sort of confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income, singles searching for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, just to name a few. When I travel to see clients and do hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I go to such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you would be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, stevegjones.com, and click on hypnosis classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. You will then be added to our worldwide directory, and you will receive a certificate. I was fortunate for several years to have an office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat. Recently, I was invited to be on The View with Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg to talk about the powers of hypnosis. And with my over 20 years' experience, I'm now happy to share with you techniques which I have both developed and learned about over the years, which I believe can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, stevegjones.com. There you'll find my life's work, over 15 books on hypnotherapy, over 250 programming CDs which program your mind to achieve your goals in such areas as weight loss and motivation and stopping smoking. And of course, audiobooks like this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing in a very dynamic way the techniques you can use to make an improvement in your life and the way you do things. And the reason I'm telling you all this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that your teacher, myself, is very capable, and I know what I'm talking about, and I'm happy to share this information with you. So rest assured you're in good hands, and let's have some fun as we now learn how to do certain techniques in a hypnotic way. I wish you well in your endeavors, and if I can be of further assistance in your journey, feel free to send an email to steve@stevegjones.com. Hello and welcome to the Hypnotic Pickup Method, Module 1. I'm Steve G. Jones, your mentor, your instructor, your guide, your friend through this process of picking up men. You know, you may think that it's a simple matter, just picking up men, and that all you have to do is go out there and be charming and so forth and it will work. And essentially, you're right. And if you simply do that and that's all you do, you will have a certain percentage of success. The idea of this program is to help you do that at a much higher level and with a much greater percentage of success. And so here's what I've done to help you. I've divided the program into 6 modules. The first 3 are basic information about dating, getting yourself ready, getting the first date, getting the second date, and so forth. Information that you can use that I think any program, hypnotic or otherwise, should contain. Modules 4 through 6 are techniques that are useful in hypnosis,
when trying to attract someone and pick someone up. So specific techniques will be given to you that you can use. So I want to make sure that you understand the way the course is put together. The first three modules are going to prepare you to make a good impression and to have dates. And the last three are going to take that foundation that you already have and add on to it some specific hypnotic techniques that you can use that if you add to your basic techniques of preparing yourself and grooming yourself and so forth and having the right attitude, if you add those hypnotic techniques to the foundation you will have established in the first three modules, what you're going to find is that you are unstoppable. You have what everyone else should have, a basic understanding of dating, plus you have these three modules in your mind of techniques that you can use. So the idea, when you're done with this program, is that you will be armed and dangerous. You will be ready for any situation. You will understand the dating world. You will understand how to get what you want. Most importantly, you will understand how to pick up men. So it all starts right here in Module 1 with confidence. That's what I want to talk about first, because with confidence, you can do anything you want to do in your life. And without confidence, you really can't do anything. Because, let's face it, if you don't feel good about who you are and what you're doing, you're not even going to get out of bed in the morning. Not to mention create something amazing or feel powerful about yourself or feel powerful enough about yourself to attract someone to you. You see, you have to be grounded in who you are if you expect someone else to be attracted to you. No one's interested in someone who doesn't know who they are or doesn't believe in themselves or doesn't have direction. The only thing you're going to attract if you fall into those categories is someone who wants to manipulate you. And that's not the situation that I want to put you in. I want to put you in the situation where you are in charge. You are going after men, so you are in somewhat traditionally the subordinate role. If we look at this as a traditional male-female dating situation, females traditionally in a dating situation are in a subordinate role. However, that doesn't mean that you have to be someone who's led around by someone else. You can appear to be in a traditional subordinate role, yet be fully in charge and actually have the upper hand and actually be in control. All of that is possible. Now, if you go into a situation overly confident and you're dating a man and you try to take control every time, well, then what you have is a power struggle. So what I'm going to create for you is the ability to have a situation in which you are actually in charge, yet you do not seem like you're in charge. So there's not a power struggle. So listen to what I have to say on these six modules, but pay particular attention in the first module as I talk about confidence, because confidence is where everything starts. You can be overly confident and come across as being, quote, full of yourself or arrogant, etc. Or you can have that calm confidence that knows you're in charge and allows you to get what you want and do what you want to do. So how does confidence become conveyed when you're talking with someone? Keep in mind that confidence is no good if the other person doesn't know that you have it. If you have confidence but it doesn't show on the outside, then that confidence is wasted. You can go through your whole life being very confident, but if people don't perceive you as being confident, you're not going to actually gain anything. So I want to make sure that your confidence shows on the outside. How can confidence show? Confidence can show through body language. Nodding when someone is talking to you, looking at them directly in the eye, and nodding as if you're hearing what they're saying and you're interested in what they're saying, smiling at someone. And I'm not talking about a nervous smile. I'm talking about a smile that is very confident. When we smile confidently, we show the other person that we believe in ourselves. Sitting up straight or standing straight. If you're looking at someone and talking to them, and you're kind of hunched over, your posture shows that you're just slouching, that there's no vitality to your body. If you're sitting or standing like that, it's not going to help you at all. So what you want to do is make sure that you're standing up straight when you're standing and sitting up straight when you're sitting. Now, there is a time, of course, to be relaxed and be comfortable with yourself. You don't always want to be rigid. But for the most part, at least when you're first meeting someone, you want to make sure that you are standing up straight and sitting up straight, because these are indicators that you have belief in yourself. And this has even gotten into the slang terminology of language. Think about it. When someone says, she has no backbone or he has no backbone, what does that mean? That means they're wishy-washy. That means the person is kind of like jello. They're not really sure about themselves. They're mushy. The Italians have a word for this, mushad. That means mushy. That means that you're not secure in yourself. That means that you're soft. And as I've said, there's also the term that at least is used in American English, which is having no backbone, lacking a backbone. Now, why would that term exist? The term exists because standing up straight and sitting up straight conveys the idea that you are solid, the very core of your being, from the base of your back all the way up into your head. That's where your backbone runs. That core of your being, if you will, is solid. Now, if it's contorted or curved, that doesn't convey that you are a solid person. But when you have a straight backbone, that conveys that you are confident and sure of yourself. So be sure to use that when you're dating to convey outwardly what you're already feeling inwardly. In your conversation, you want to use positive words. Think about it. If you're talking with someone and they're saying how gloomy it is outside and how they just feel so bad and their relative just passed away and so forth, well, to them, they might just be reporting the facts. They might just be reporting the news. But no one wants to hear that, at least in a first date or even second date. People do not want to hear how sad and full of despair your life is, even if you feel it is. People do not want to hear that. That is a surefire way to turn people off. So use positive words and talk about positive things. If you have insecurities, if you have fears, if you have past relationships, let all of that go, at least during the first few dates. You can talk about insecurities and fears and past relationships some other time once you know the person a little better. But initially, when you're trying to establish yourself as a confident person, you want to avoid all of those things. Attitude. Be happy. Be open. And sometimes when we go into a dating situation, we may not feel happy. You may not feel open. You may feel like it's possibly not going to work out. And who knows, maybe it won't. You may feel closed off. You may feel like you don't want to share with that person. It all gets down to a fake it till you make it type attitude. If you're going into a dating situation and you don't feel happy and you don't feel open, you have got to find a way to outwardly express that you do feel those things. Because this is potentially something that's been holding you back in the past, portraying this gloomy attitude, being closed off, being sad, and portraying all of those things. Remember, it's okay to feel those things inside, but you're not at a therapy session. A date is not a therapy session. If you go into a date and you treat it as a therapy session where you're dumping all of your fears and concerns on the man and feeling gloomy and feeling a little closed off and they have to kind of open you emotionally and get you to talk, well, that creates a lot of work. That creates a lot of negativity on the part of the man who's dealing with you. So you want to make sure that you go into it at least showing outwardly that you feel happy and that you feel that you can share. I'm not saying share everything about yourself, and I'm not saying that you have to jump up and down and do cheers if you're feeling very sad, but at least smile and at least talk about positive things and at least open up a little bit and share something about yourself. Keep in mind that over 70% of our communication is actually nonverbal, so make sure that your actions aren't betraying your words. If you're trying to seem open while you talk to this man, yet your arms are crossed and your legs are crossed and you kind of have a grumpy face, well, that doesn't actually convey that you're open. That conveys that you're closed off and talking about being open. You need to make sure that you relax your body, unfold those arms, just relax a little bit. and say positive things. Now, you may be thinking at this point that I'm trying to get you to do something that's very challenging, and perhaps it will be challenging the first few times, but what I want to give you is a way to prepare for this so that you're not just walking into the date and thinking, oh, okay, now I have to be happy and I have to be open. Great, here we go. I don't really feel like it, but here we go. Well, let's take a step backwards and let's see how you can prepare for this situation. How can you be in the zone? How can you prepare yourself mentally for this date? And this all ties into hypnotically preparing yourself. Think of a time when you were confident or you succeeded at something before the date, about an hour before it. Think of a time when you were confident or you succeeded at something. And then relax. Just relax. That's right. And when you go into the date, stand tall, sit up straight, and believe in yourself. That's right. Focus on, during the date, focus on that positive thing. Now, in this module, I've still got you in the before the date situation. We're still not actually talking about the first date or the second date or anything. I'm just kind of giving you a preview of it, lifting the curtain a little bit and showing you what's behind the curtain. But still, we're talking about preparing yourself. So in this module, I don't want you to so much focus on being in the first date. I really want you to focus on what it's going to be like when you're in the first date. This is all preparation. If some of this seems daunting to you or like something that you may have a challenge with, that's fine. We're just talking about preparing for the first date in this module. But when you're in that first date, you can take with you those confident feelings. When you remembered that time that you were confident and you succeeded at something, keep in your mind those confident feelings as you then move into the date. Because in the next module, I'm going to have you move into the date, into the first date. But you need to prepare yourself. Realize that you are deserving. You know, I don't think that anything can ruin a date faster than one of the people feeling that they're not deserving, one of the people feeling that they shouldn't be there. And what happens when you feel that way? Well, you know what happens. You start showing it on the outside. You start showing the person that somehow they're better than you, and you start acting like that. You start acting like you're not deserving. You start perhaps sabotaging the situation because you feel that you're not deserving. So you want to let go of that, and the way you let go of that is very simple. Before you go into the date, you prepare yourself by telling yourself that you are deserving. And I'd like you to do an exercise now that's going to help you in all of this, help you in your dating life, and help you feel good about yourself. I want you to take out a sheet of paper now. Pause this recording if you have to. Take out a sheet of paper and fold it in half vertically. In the left column, I want you to title positive, and the right column, I want you to title needs improvement. Notice I'm not using positive and negative. We're very optimistic here, you and I. Very optimistic about you being successful in picking up men. So the left is titled positive. The right is titled needs improvement. Doesn't mean it's negative or bad or wrong. It means it needs to be improved, and it will be improved. Okay, so in the positive column, these are all the qualities that you like about yourself and that give you confidence. Okay, so as I am silent, I want you to list in that left-hand column all of the qualities that you like about yourself and all of the qualities that give you confidence. Go ahead and do that now as I am silent. All right, good. Now, what I want you to do, and you can always come back to this later, but right now what I want you to do is write in the right-hand column under the Needs Improvement heading. I want you to write things that are in the realm of what you should work on. Now, I don't want you to talk about any physical attributes. If there's anything physical about yourself, I don't want you to put that in that column. That's not what this is for. I want you to put in that column things about your personality or the way that you interact with the world, things along those lines, things that you realize need to be improved and can be improved pretty easily. I want you to put those in that column. Go ahead and do that now as I am silent. Okay, good. Now, I want you to go back over both of these lists, and I want to give you some more detailed information. I didn't want to tell you too much before you wrote because I didn't want to take charge of what you're writing or direct you in any certain direction, but here's some things to think about which you may not have considered when you were making your two lists. What about personality traits? Personality traits. As you look over your lists, are there any positive or needs improvements personality traits that you can put in either list? Sense of humor, ability to communicate, motivation, confidence. Do any of those categories fit in either column? If they do, go ahead and put something in there. Perhaps your sense of humor is outstanding. Perhaps it needs a little work. Perhaps your ability to communicate is outstanding. Perhaps it needs a little work. Think about those things I've said. Sense of humor, ability to communicate, motivation, confidence. Where do those fall in your categories? Are they in the left column, positive, or in the right column, needs improvement? Think about those things. Sense of humor, ability to communicate, motivation, and confidence. Think about specific things that have to do with those categories. And as I am silent again, go ahead and add them to the column where you think they pertain. Any new ideas that come to your mind as a result of what I've just told you. Sense of humor, ability to communicate, motivation, and confidence. Think about those things. Whatever thoughts come to your head, either positive or needs improvement, go ahead and add them in the appropriate columns now as I am silent. All right, good. Now I want you to think about skills. Skills that you either have or don't have. Skills that can fall into the positive things about you column or the needs improvement things about you column. Athletic ability. Let's look at that as a skill. Is that a positive quality that you have or something that needs improvement? How about what you do for a living? Is that positive? Meaning, do you really enjoy it? Or does it need improvement? Meaning, perhaps you need to train for a different job. Perhaps you need to expand somehow. How about having interests that you're passionate about? Is that in the positive column or the needs improvement column? You know, having a passion in life really attracts people. I would be willing to bet that the man or the men that you're attracted to are passionate about something in their lives. They have something that drives them, some driving force in their lives that they work toward. They have a passion. Well, men want to see that in you also. They want to see that you have a passion. So, do you have that? Do you have a passion? Do you have an interest that you're passionate about? And it can be anything. It can be gardening. It can be raising children. It can be becoming a doctor. It can be becoming the president of your country. What interest are you passionate about? Is that in the positive or the needs improvement category? Do you even have a passion? What about wealth? Do you have an abundance of money? Do you have enough money to pay your bills? Do you have a deficit? How does wealth stack up in the columns? Either positive or needs improvement. Either you have what you want and need, or it needs improvement. You know, if you're trying to pick up a man and yet you're not even able to pay your rent or your mortgage, or if you had to pay for your own meal, you wouldn't even be able to do that. You know, that can send out a certain signal to men, which can be good or bad. It can send out the signal of, hey, I can take care of this person, or, oh my goodness, this person couldn't even survive without me. I don't want to be with this person because they're going to be a financial drag on me. You know, that really gets down to who you're trying to attract. That is not definitely written in stone. Men don't always look at a lack of money or even a lack of power as a negative thing. Women, on the other hand, may. But if you're trying to pick up a man, well, this sometimes could work to your advantage. But how do you see it? How do you see it in your life? Your financial situation, whether wealthy or not, whether able to pay your bills or not, whatever situation you're in, how do you see it? Is it positive or does it need improvement? Do you want to be that person who needs a savior, who needs a knight in shining armor to come in and pay your bills and so forth? Or do you want to be established financially and be an equal with a man? Or perhaps you're not even looking for a man who has any money at all. You see, the role that you play can vary, and there's no right or wrong here, but there is the concept of what it means to you. So think about your financial situation. Is it positive? Doesn't matter if you have money or not. Is your financial situation positive for you, or does it need improvement? So, as I am silent, I want you to think about those categories I just talked about. Think about skills that you have, like athletic ability. I want you to think about what you do for a living. I want you to think about having interests that you're passionate about, and I want you to think of your financial situation, and I want you to categorize each of those things or any other ideas that come up as a result of those things and categorize them as positive or needs improvement. Do this now as I am silent. Okay, good. So now we've got this list, and hopefully you've got a lot of stuff on both sides. Now, if everything's on the positive side, I don't know, maybe you weren't quite being totally honest with yourself. And if everything's on the need improvement side, well, maybe you're kind of putting yourself down, and maybe that's an indicator of one of the challenges that you have, that you're not really looking on the bright side at all. Hopefully this list is pretty well balanced. Probably one column is a little longer than the other, and that's fine. But hopefully you've got some stuff on both sides that we can look at now. So, What do we do with this list? Why did I have you make this list? Why did Steve G. Jones have me make a list revealing all of this stuff about myself? Well, let's take a look at it and see what we can do with this. First of all, and I don't like to categorize things as negative or positive, but if something has worked against you in the past, we can pretty much say that's negative. So what negative things on your list have affected past relationships? Take a good, honest look at that right now. Take a good, honest look at that list. And why don't you go ahead and circle those things on that list that have affected past relationships in a negative way? Were you too focused on your financial situation? Were you too insecure? Were you overly confident? What are the qualities about yourself that have negatively affected your past relationships? If we don't learn from the past, then we're wasting our time. You need to look at this list and learn from it right now. Learn from the past. What has gone on in the past? Which of these qualities, and you can circle the whole list if you want, the whole needs improvement side if you want, that's fine. But what has negatively affected your past relationships? Take a look at your list and circle everything that's affected a past relationship in a negative way. Okay, there's something negative about it if it's had a negative effect. Now, what's interesting is that it may be in your positive column. It may be something positive about you that you feel good about, but it's negatively affected a past relationship. Isn't that interesting? And that means that either you're dating the wrong kind of men, or you need to change something about yourself if you want to continue dating successfully the types of men you've dated in the past. You see, if there's something positive about yourself that's not working, well, either you've got the wrong target or you're using the wrong ammunition. So something needs to change either way. This exercise can be very revealing. So circle everything on your list from either column that has negatively affected past relationships. Now, hopefully, most of those things will be in the needs improvement category, because if they're in the positive category, then you've got a little bit of a choice to make, don't you? You've got to decide if you want to change who you're going after or change something about yourself that you consider positive. My advice would be don't change anything about yourself that you consider positive. If you consider it positive and it's not working, then somebody's just not respecting that about you. Somebody's not seeing the positive qualities that you have. And you really need to take a good hard look at who you're going after. Maybe you're going after the wrong kind of person. Maybe you're going after the person, the man who wants someone who's immoral somehow, who's just doesn't have quote-unquote good qualities. And you wrote, goes to church every Sunday. You think that's positive, but the men you're dating think that's a terrible thing. Well, if you've got a situation like that, then I really suggest that you change who you're going after and find someone more suitable for you. And this can be very revealing in that maybe you didn't even realize that was happening. Maybe you didn't realize that one of the most positive things about you is your religion, and yet the men you're going after are completely against that. Or the most positive thing about you is that you don't drink and the men you're going after are all in bars and they want you to go drink. It could be something along those lines. Now, keep in mind, I don't believe that there's an absolute right or wrong here. I don't believe that if you drink or don't drink that you're better or worse than anyone else. What I do believe is that you have your own internal moral compass. And if it's pointing one direction, and the man you're going after, his is pointing the other direction, and he's upset that yours is pointing the opposite direction of his, well, you've got to make a change. Either you've got to be okay with changing your moral compass, which I think is a really bad idea, or you've got to go after other types of men who have beliefs that are more in line with yours. So take a good look at this. Circle everything that has affected past relationships negatively. We're not looking at things that you consider good or bad or right or wrong or negative or positive at this point. All we're looking at is what has affected negatively past relationships. Circle those things and take a look at them. Okay, now, If you've got some items in your needs improvement list that are now circled, and maybe you circled the whole column, who knows, but if you've got some items, in your needs improvement list that are circled, those need to become priority for you. You need to work on those things. For example, and this may or may not be your situation, but if you have in your needs improvement list that you have no interests or that you don't have many interests, you need to find things that you enjoy. Join a club or find out some more information about things you can do. Because if you feel that your lack of interest in something has crippled a past relationship or ruined it or somehow been negative to it, you need to change that. And this I bring up as an example, not because it's your example, because I don't know you personally, but it is common to try to go after a man and have your interest become the man. And that is your interest. And everything that you're interested in before kind of goes out the window somehow. Going places, doing things, hanging out with people, etc. All of those interests that you had when you were single go out the window, and suddenly your interest is the man. What happens when you create that situation? I think you know what happens. The man feels smothered. Suddenly you don't have all these interests that were so attractive to him when you were dating or when you first met. Your interest is him. That's smothering. Now, you may have been in that situation and not known how to pull yourself out of it. On the one hand, the logical part of you said, hey, wait a minute, I'm smothering this guy. I need to stop doing that. On the other hand, your heart was telling you, well, all I want to do is be around him. All I want to do is everything he does. All I want to do is be with his friends and do his interests, watch football or whatever it may be. Even though I don't feel that as an interest of mine, that's what I end up doing. Maybe you have found yourself in that situation in the past. Maybe that sounds familiar to you. Maybe not, but it is a common one. Well, if you have that in your column and you circled it as something that's negatively affected past relationships, then guess what? You need to change that. You need to start finding other interests and developing them solidly. And I'm not talking about interests that just fill in the gaps when you don't have a man in your life and that can be thrown into the trash can when you find a man. Oh, good, I found him. I don't need pottery class. I don't need kayaking class. I don't need hang gliding. I don't need world travel, and I don't need reading anymore. I've got a man now. Well, if that's what's happened in the past, then you need to develop those interests so strongly that even when you're in a relationship, you will be able to maintain them. And guess what? Who's to say that he won't be interested in those things also? Draw him into your world. Make him interested in the things you're interested in, and also show some interest in the things he's interested in. That creates balance. And what's so important in a relationship is maintaining the power dynamic. Now, hypnotically, the power dynamic means that you have as much power as the man. It's equal. When you collapse yourself into the man, when you give up your interests and your hobbies and so forth and just go toward the man and his interest, you have given up your power. Suddenly you're going where he wants to go, when he wants to go there. You've given up your life, you've given up your power. This creates the impression subconsciously in his mind that he's in charge of you. It also creates the impression in his mind that you don't really have a backbone. You don't really have any interests. You don't really have a quote-unquote life because your life has become him. That puts a lot of pressure on him, a lot of responsibility. It makes him feel good, perhaps for a little while, but after a while it feels smothering. And so in his mind, he is very powerful, and you're not. And guess what's in your mind too? The same thing, that he's very powerful and you're not. And if he left, your world would collapse. Well, that's not the situation you want to be in. You want to maintain the power dynamic as being equal. You have equal power as he does because of your strong interests. No, I can't do that Tuesday night because that's the night that I go to the class that I've been going to for the last 6 months. No, I can't do that Friday afternoon because I'll be kayaking. I'll be canoeing, I'll be sailing, I'll be doing whatever it is I do that's an interest of mine. You have to maintain those interests. So I hope that little side note has helped. That may not be your particular situation, but perhaps you can see how some parts of it have affected your past relationships. A very common pitfall in relationships. When trying to pick up a man and maintain a relationship with a man, this can be a common mistake. All right, so use your list, go back to it, do this exercise again in about a week and see if your list has changed. Hopefully your list is evolving. Hopefully your needs improvement list is getting smaller and your positive list is getting bigger because you're moving things over. Or you're realizing that the things that you thought needed improvement don't really need improvement at all. They're fine the way they are. That can be a wonderful discovery too, that you thought something needed improvement because in a past relationship with a man, you were told it needed improvement, but it really doesn't. And you have finally seen that. So take a good look at that list and from time to time, make that list again and watch it evolve. I want you to understand that you deserve to find your ideal man. You deserve this. So right now, get it into your mind. I am programming you right now hypnotically with an affirmation. You deserve to find your ideal man. And because of that, you will. So allow yourself to open up and feel deserving. And I want you also to realize that there's no need to settle for less. There's no need to settle for less than your ideal man. Men, traditionally, are hunters. Men will go after their prey, if you will, if you want to look at it that way. And when I teach this program for picking up women, that's essentially how I focus. I focus on hunter and prey, not in a negative way. No one's going to be devoured. But when picking up a woman, you have to look at it that way because that's the way the dynamic works. That's just the way traditionally everything is set up. So you have to realize that men are thinking of themselves as hunters. And so when you are putting yourself in a situation where you're going to be attractive to a man, realize that you're going to be attractive to a number of men. So there are going to be a number of opportunities coming up. Why on earth, with all of these opportunities coming up all the time, would you settle for anything less than exactly what you want? Think of it from now on as a business, and all of these people are coming in to apply for a business. You, by focusing on your positive attributes and making them as wonderful and powerful as possible, are going to create a big, powerful, wonderful business. And lots of people are going to apply. They want to work there. These are the men you will be attracting. These are the men you will potentially be picking up. But a business doesn't hire everyone who walks in the door and applies for a job, and you don't have to either. You don't have to accept every man that comes to you trying to date you, etc. You can be very selective. Don't settle for less than what you want. Get it in your mind right now that you deserve to find your ideal man. So the question naturally arises, what is your ideal man? If you don't know what your ideal man is, then perhaps they all seem ideal to you. Perhaps your ideal man in the past has been the man who walks up to you and says hello or expresses any kind of interest whatsoever. Perhaps that's what your ideal was. Perhaps your ideal man was so ideal that you would have to go to another planet to find him. Perhaps he isn't exactly on this planet because it would have to be the man who always opens the door for you, who never complains to you, who always does exactly what you tell him. So if your ideal man is so ideal that he doesn't even exist in this reality, then you need to take a look at that also. So let's boil this down to something very specific. Let's make this real. Let's make this workable. Let's make this doable. Let's boil this down to a specific list. I love lists because when we look at lists, we find out exact details, and we then have a target. We know what we can work on. We know what we're going after, etc. Are there specific traits that you're looking for? Again, it's time for another sheet of paper. Go ahead, get it out, or you can do this on computer if you want, or write it on a napkin, wherever you may be. Use what you have around you. What are you looking for? You have a target that you can't see, perhaps. Perhaps you know you have a target, but it's kind of vague, and so you've been shooting all around the target, just kind of canvassing the general area, just shooting randomly because you don't really know what the target is. Well, let's define the target. What are you shooting for? What specific traits are you looking for? Write them down. Do they have to be smart, funny, interested in the things that you're interested in? Do they have to love dogs? Do they have to come from a, quote, good family? Do they have to have goals? Do they have to be caring? Do they have to like to party? Do they have to have gone to college? Do they have to be honest? Do they have to be good looking? What does this man need to have in order to win you over? There's no right or wrong here. It's just what you want. What do you want? Maybe you want them to be from a rough family. Who knows? What are you looking for? What's the target? As I'm silent, take a moment and just write down the specific traits, the specific attributes, the specific things about this person that you're looking for. Do this now. Okay, good. Now, if you're using a sheet of paper, I want you to turn it over. If you're using a napkin, turn it over or get a different napkin. If you're using a computer document, open a new document. Because it's time for a new list. And this list is called What Turns You Off. What Turns You Off. And I want you to write down what turns you off about a man. Maybe it's smoking, maybe it's arrogance, maybe it's negativity. Anything goes. It's your particular list. Maybe smoking's on your good trait list. Who knows? It doesn't matter. This is all up to you. But as I'm silent, write down on that new list what turns you off about a man. What negative traits would they have that would just make it a deal breaker for you? What turns you off? Okay, so what can we do with these two lists that you have? You have one list that has the specific traits that you're looking for in a person. Likes to party, went to college, honest, good-looking, whatever it may be. Good things that you like, that you're looking for in the person. And they're quote-unquote good to you. There's no absolute good or bad or negative or positive. These are just good to you, things that you consider to be good in a person. Maybe somebody else would look at that list and say, you think that's good? It doesn't matter. It's your good. It's your version of good. So you have a list that has all the traits that you're looking for in a man that are good. And then you have another list of things that are negative, things that just turn you off, deal breakers. Smoking, arrogance, negativity, or maybe the fact that he doesn't smoke because you want to smoke, or who knows. But you have two lists, good things and bad things. Positive things and negative things, however you want to look at it. What I want you to do right now is take the first list, the positive things that you're looking for, and rank them from most important to least important. And you can just give them numbers. You can just write numbers next to them. Number one would be most important. If you have 10 things, number 10 would be least important. So the most important one gets the number one, then it goes from there. So just assign them numbers now. What's most important? All the way down to what's least important. Do that now with your list of positive traits that you're looking for in a man. Rank them most important to least important, as I am silent. Okay, good. Now take your list of negative attributes, things that you don't want in a man, and rank them from most important, meaning I really, really don't want this in a man, that would be number one, to least important. Least important would be, you know, maybe I could tolerate this. I guess it wouldn't be so bad. It's still bad, but it's not so bad. So rank them from bothers you the most to bothers you the least. Bothers you the most would be number one. Bothers you the least would be the last number. Go ahead and rank that second list now as I am silent. Good. Now I want you to take a look at that first list. Take a look. Now, let's take an honest look at that list. You've got a list of things that you like about the person. Things that you like about the person that you're talking to or that you've been with. Things that you want the man to have. Okay, now what I want you to think about is a past relationship, or maybe a few past relationships. Look at this list and think about the past, when you were in a relationship or maybe a few different relationships. Look at the list, think about the past. Look at the list, think about the past. Does this list match up to the past? In other words, the number one thing on your list, what was it? Was it success? Was it money? Was it sense of humor? Was it loving dogs? Was it comes from a good family? Was it caring? Was it likes to have fun? What was it? What's number one on that list? Do your past relationships reflect that? Can you look at your past relationships and say, yeah, they all had number one. How about number two, three, four, and five? Of those things that you consider so important in a man, did he have those things? Were those things present in his attributes? Were they part of who he was? Okay, if they were, then that's great. But if they weren't, well, here we have the same situation again. Shooting at the wrong target. Or maybe he's just been shooting at random targets. Or maybe you've been the target yourself, which is often the case when you're dealing with a man. The man will come to you. He will seek you. Maybe you've been accepting every man who will accept you without worrying about this list. Does he have the top one trait that I look for? Does he have the top five? Does he have anything? Does he have any of the top five? Does he have anything on the list at all? If I have 10, maybe he doesn't have anything on the list at all. But I accepted him because he accepted me. Hopefully you're not in that category, but if you are, it's honesty time. It's time to look. It's time to learn. Did they measure up or not? This can be very revealing. Now, ideally in this exercise, you would find that some of the things on your list, on your top traits list, those people possessed, and some of the things they didn't. Let's face it, we're looking at past relationships. We're not looking at the current relationship you're in or that you want to be in or any of that. We're looking at a relationship that didn't work out. I don't like to use the word failed relationship, but it didn't succeed. And there's a reason it didn't succeed. It may be because of you. It may be because of them. Who knows? But this is a place to start looking. And keep this in mind for the future. If you've got all these skills that I'm going to teach you in these modules about hypnosis, and you're going to learn some very specific skills, you're going to be dangerous. You're going to be able to attract any man you want. If you're learning these skills, but you're not shooting at the right target, you're shooting at these bad targets again, these targets that have none of the traits that you're looking for, only a few, then why do you even have those skills? It's like you're a trained professional who can do anything, but you're doing something you don't really want to do. Why would you do that? Why would you use your skills to get the wrong job, for example? Why would you train as a doctor and then go apply for a job as a lawyer? Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Have you been doing that in the past? Have you been mismatching yourself? Have you been doing that on purpose? Have you been sabotaging yourself? Have you been purposely going after or accepting the wrong men so that you can sabotage yourself so you know from the beginning it won't work out and you can walk away and realize, well, hey, it didn't work out. I tried. Did you try? Did you really try? Or did you sabotage from the outset? Did you set out to sabotage? So these are some deep probing questions that only you can answer. And maybe your list doesn't reveal any of those things. Maybe you looked for the ideal man, you found him, it just didn't work out. That's possible. In which case, you'll have to look a little deeper. Let's take a look at the other list. Let's take a look at your deal breaker list. What are those things you don't like? Have you settled for those things in the past? Have you gone after those things? Have you accepted them? Take a look at that list also. Probably what you'll find is that those people in past relationships, relationships that didn't work out, had some of those things. In fact, maybe when you made that list, all you did was write down everything that every guy ever had that was a negative attribute. Maybe as you think about those past relationships, they're just negative attributes that those people had that turned you off. Maybe you went for them or found out that they had those things and then left them because of those things. That's possible. Take a look at that list. Have you been subconsciously programmed to go after those negative things and to avoid the positive things? For example, if there's man A and man B, and man A has all the positive traits and man B has all the negative traits, have you been going after man B? Have you been going after the wrong one? Because you think that that's all you deserve? Because deep down inside you want to sabotage your relationship? Who knows what your reasons are? This exercise can be very revealing, though. So keep in mind these exercises. Do them again from time to time. Allow them to keep you on track. If you didn't like something in the past, what makes you think you're going to like it in the future? If you didn't like the rich guy in the past, what makes you think you're going to like him in the future? If you didn't like the guy who moved in with you and leached off of you in the past, what makes you think you're going to like him in the future? Look at the lists and learn from the lists. Okay, so just to summarize what we've looked at in this module, we looked at boosting your confidence, how to exude confidence, fake it till you make it if you have to, how to figure out what your positive and needs improvement qualities are, and how to analyze a man in terms of what you're looking for versus what you're not looking for, and how to be honest about that, and Really, the rest of it gets down to looking inside yourself. So your homework for this module, I want to assign homework because I want you to keep moving forward. Your homework for this module is to sort of meditate on those lists you made, those lists of positive and needs improvements, things about yourself, and figure out how you can make some changes. And meditate also, just look at, study, whatever you want to call it. Just meditate doesn't mean you have to sit and say om and sit in a quiet room with candles. Meditate can just mean look at it and do some thinking, some reflective thinking on it. Look at the list that you made also, the two lists of things that you really like in a guy and things that are deal breakers. And try to create some connections, some patterns. Look for patterns. Let it emerge. See if you've been looking for the wrong person. See if you've been accepting the wrong person. See if your past can tell you something about what you've been doing that's ineffective. And then think about the future. What can you do to make changes? So use all those lists that I had you create, meditate on them, think about them, and figure out what you can do. And it's up to you. It's an individual thing. What you can do to change the future, to make it more powerful and positive. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.